had a different sermon prepared for this morning. Seems like God's getting in the habit of changing my sermons at the last minute. I'm going to have to talk to him about that. I do all the time. But I got about 9:30 last night. Both Shelley and Renee called me and asked me to meet them at the hospital. And, of course, Jeremy and Heather were already there. And they were with them for a few hours. And I had several people. Of course, there was a lot of young people there, their friends that were young. And but it wasn't just the young people that were asking this question. It was also the older people. The question we always want to ask at a time like that, why? Why? Why would God take a little innocent, sweet, happy 15-month-old little girl and take her to heaven? Why? Of course, as I've told many of you that have asked me that same question on similar occasions, that's a question that God doesn't always choose to answer. Many people have stood beside a casket and asked that same question, and no answer came. And I guess it was about 12:30 when I left the hospital last night, and but I got in my truck, and on times like that, when people ask that question, and I ask the question in all honesty, God always brings to mind a little chorus that we sing about everything's all right in my Father's house. And so this morning, I want to look for a few minutes at this passage in John chapter 14. Jesus and his disciples at this occasion were in the upper room. They'd already had the Last Supper. Judas had already left. Jesus had already wrapped that towel around him and gone around and washed all the disciples' feet, telling them that they need to be servants. In a few minutes, they would get up from the table and they would leave and they would walk to the Garden of Gethsemane where He would pray and sweat great drops of blood. In a few hours, he would be arrested, and the disciples would all forsake him, and Peter would deny him. A few more hours, he would stand before Pilate and Herod and be condemned to hang on a cross. And by this time the next day, he would be laying in the grave. And so he was preparing his disciples for everything that was going to happen. They thought still at this point in time that he'd come to be the Messiah, that he was going to set up his kingdom and rule, and he was getting them ready for something that was going to be completely different, his crucifixion. And that's where he says these very familiar words from John chapter 14. Many of us at time of grief have turned to these verses and read what Brother Chuck read for us a moment ago. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, in the way, you know. And Thomas says, Lord, we don't know the way. And Jesus said, well, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. As I've mentioned, these verses have comforted many people down through the ages. I took comfort in them last night when I got home, and I pulled out an outline that I've used before, I'll admit that to you, but it says some things to me about heaven that I needed to be reminded about. I want to say five things this morning about my Father's house. Number one, I want to go to my Father's house. I want to go to that place where there's somebody, as Brother Wendell sang about a moment ago, that loves me. Our Father. Our Father. You know, I don't know if how the Holy Spirit could have wove the service more together than he did, as to even to what the choir sang and the songs that we sung as a congregation, and then the specials you sang. I think God wants us to be reminded this morning that he loves us. You know, I don't know about you, and I know some of you didn't have the dad that maybe you should have had, but I still like going home. I still like going to see my dad. When I have some things that are bothering me and I need to talk to somebody about them on a human basis, he's the first one that I turn to, because I know regardless of what I tell him, first of all, he'll keep it to himself, and second of all, he'll tell me what I need to hear. A lot of people tell me what they think I want to hear. My dad tells me what he knows I need to hear. And I've never gone back to him and have come away feeling that I wasn't loved, that I wasn't prayed for. And there's just something about being able to go to your dad and be able to feel the love that he has for you and the care that he has for you. And many of you in this room know what I'm talking about. And we need to thank God for the earthly dads that he's given us. I was talking to a guy 3 weeks ago. He lost his father. He was 35 years old, and we were talking in my office, and the thing that he said that stuck with me was this. He said, "You know, I can't go home anymore." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, my mom's gone. Now my dad's gone. I can't go home anymore." My dad's over 80 years old. His health's starting to fail. My mom says his mind is going quicker than his body. But I know the inevitable will come, and one day, if the Lord tarries, we'll have to bury him. But this morning, I want to remind you that we have a Father who does not get old, who never loses his strength, who never loses his health, who maintains a home for us forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you talk about feeling loved, Brother Wendell, as you were singing about. And I know we feel loved down here. But I think when we get to heaven, the curtains are going to pull back. And we will experience the love of God like we've never felt before. I want to go to heaven because our Father's there. I want to go to heaven because Jesus is there. He said, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. I'll be there when you get there." I like reading that story in the book of Acts over there where Stephen got stoned, because I read in the book of Revelation where Jesus went and he sits at the right hand of God. I like to read that story where Stephen, as he was dying, looked up into heaven. He said, "I see the Son of Man. He's standing by the right hand of God. He's standing to welcome me in to that place called heaven. And I want to go to my Father's house because my elder brother is already there. The one that sacrificed himself for me is there. I want to go to heaven and be with Jesus. I want to go to heaven and be with all those that I've loved that are already there." I added another name to the list last night, but they're there. Dory asked me a moment ago, and talking to Heather about it last night, about how old you think people are in heaven. Are there little babies in heaven? Do they automatically grow up? And I don't know the answer to that question, but I know when we get to heaven, we'll know one another. We'll know each other, not in the same way that we know each other now, but we'll know each other. And I think when we walk heaven's streets, we'll recognize all those that have gone before. I want to go to heaven because they're there. I want to go to my Father's house. I want to tell you something. Second point, I have to say, like Thomas, for a long time, I didn't know the way. I would have to say like him, when Jesus said, "Hey, you know where I'm going, you know the way to get there." I would have to say like him, "I don't know where you're going, and I don't know how to get there." You see, if I was setting it up, I would have made getting to heaven a whole lot different. I would have made getting to heaven where we had to do something or be something or pay something. But I'm glad God didn't set it up that way. Getting to our Father's house has never been about being good. Getting to our Father's house has never been about joining a church. Getting to our Father's house has never been about getting baptized or taking the Lord's Supper. Getting to our Father's house has never been about paying something or doing something or being something. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If I get to my Father's house, and if you get to our Father's house, it won't be because we've done something, we've paid something, we've been something. We'll get to our Father's house by the mercy and the grace of Almighty God and the love of His dear Son. Number three, Jesus didn't come to show us the way. He didn't come to show us the way. Stay with me for a minute. You might think I'm off base, but He didn't come to show us the way. He came to show us God. He was God's revelation to us. He came to show us how much God loved us. He came to show us that God was a God of mercy. He came to show us that God was also a God of judgment. He came to teach us about God. He came to show us that there is a place that we're going to live forever, that when this life is over, that our body is not just laid in a grave and begin to rot, but that is what is really us is going to exist forever and ever and ever and ever. He came to teach us all that. He did not come to show us the way. Number four, He came to be the way. To be the way. When John the Baptist introduced Him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." You see, we're all sinners. That sin separates us from our Father. That sin drives a wedge between us and our Creator. And in the Old Testament, we read about the different pictures of how that sin was paid for. Once a year, the high priest would take the blood of a sacrifice and go into the Holy of Holies and would take that blood and would sprinkle it on the mercy seat where the presence of God dwelt and would pay for people's sins for another year. And the high priest did that year after year, decade after decade, millennium after millennium. And they're still doing it in some parts of the world to pay for sin. They take the blood of a sacrifice of an animal. But when Jesus went to the cross, as Brother Wendell sang, what He wrote with His blood was forgiveness from sin. No more to go in once a year. No more to have that day of atonement. When Jesus hung on the cross and He said, "It is finished," what He was saying is, "I'm going to take my blood that I shed for you, and I'm going to go up into heaven to the presence of God, and I'm going to take my blood and I'm going to sprinkle it before God, and that blood is going to pay for your sins forever and ever and ever." We sang that song, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Amen. And there's not. That's the only thing. When Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," He was saying, "This is the only way." He came to be our way home. Number five, why don't you come and go with me? Why don't you come go with us? Those of us that know Christ as our Savior, those of us who one day said, "I don't deserve it. I don't even understand it. But Jesus, I believe that You died for me. And right now I'm trusting that nothing else to make me right with God." See, every single person that's done that, we're on our way to heaven this morning. We're on our way to live in our Father's house forever and ever and ever. Now, I've got to believe there's some here this morning that's not done that. You've never made that decision. Why don't you come go with us? Why don't you come go with us? You see, there's room for every single person to come to the cross. I was driving home last night. I had the radio turned off and the windows down because it was warm and I was hot. And I was just singing away, Brother Wendell. "Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house,
In my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. You say, well, preacher, I don't have much joy this morning. Yes, you do. What you don't have is happiness. But you got joy. You just stop and you think about that little baby. I don't know if she's a little baby or if she's growing up this morning. I don't know. But I want to tell you what. First person she saw when she walked into heaven was Jesus. If she was still a little baby, I think Jesus took her up in his arms and held her. Said, welcome home. Welcome home. I told Heather, I said, I know all sorts of thoughts are going through your head, and I know part of you is dead, died. I know that. I know there's a hole in your heart. The thing you got to keep thinking about is where she is and who she's with. Everything's all right in my Father's house. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. Sing it with me. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy. I want to tell you the other thing I thought about on the way home. I thought about all the little children that we have in our church. All the little babies and all the little ones. They're just loaned to us. I know as moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas, probably more true grandpas and grandmas, we think they're ours. They're not. They're God's. He's loaned them to us for a while. Love them while you got them. Teach them about Jesus. Don't wait till they get 5 or 6 or 7. Then you bring them home from the hospital. You start telling them about Jesus. Preacher, they don't understand. Doesn't matter. Let them hear the name of Jesus. Sing them, Jesus, love me. Would you go with us this morning? If you're not saved, would you decide today to be saved? I'm going to tell you something. It's not going to get any easier than it is right now. The Holy Spirit's in this service in a mighty, mighty way. If he's talking to your heart this morning, don't say no. Don't say no. Let's pray, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for everything that you bring into our life. We know you work it together for good. Sometimes we don't understand how you do it, but we know that you do. And I pray this morning, I pray for that one that might be here that doesn't know for sure that heaven is theirs, doesn't know for sure that their sins are forgiven, doesn't know anything about the kind of love that we've sang about and talked about this morning because they've never come to Jesus. And I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, in a tender but compelling way, you would show them that they're a sinner. Would you show them that there's a price for that sin?
you'd show them that Jesus paid that price. And this morning, they could know what it is to have their sins forgiven, to be a child of God, to have a home in heaven. I pray you'd speak to every heart that's still lost, every heart that's still black with sin. Show them the Savior. Help them to come. And then, Father, for Christians that are here, it's at times like this that we're reminded of heaven, of how sweet it is, of how precious it is. And I pray this morning that you'd use this time to draw us closer to you, make us more obedient, make us more moldable, so that you can use us in your service. If there's somebody here that needs to make another decision, maybe to rededicate their life, maybe to join the church, maybe they just have some things between you and them and they need to come to this altar and get them straight this morning, I pray they'd use this time to do that. Bless the invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.